Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On today's Of Record, a Bed Bath & Beyond update, Lululemon in the news for direct-to-consumer, and an interesting story about a new pharmaceutical drug on this week's Of Record.
Of Record is a podcast focused on the marketing and advertising industry from the perspective of industry expert Joe Clements. Joe Clements is a co-founder of Strategic Digital Services, a digital marketing firm based in Tallahassee, Florida, and founded in 2014.
I'm Joe Clements, and this is the podcast Of Record. Everybody, it's been a few weeks since we were in here. It's been like 2 weeks, right, Alex?
Yeah, two weeks.
We had a couple members of this crew with Kirsten. Say hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten.
And producer Alex.
Hello.
We're both on the road last week, deep in the backcountry of Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On some mountainside hellscape.
Yeah, almost drove off a couple times.
Yeah.
It was wild. I could not watch.
And I don't know how to click the buttons in the right order in here. So I did sit in here just talking to the mic. Yeah. So, but I don't think it got recorded. So first story that caught my eye, which I thought was interesting, and this is out of The Hill, is Capitol Records walks away from AI rapper project, offers deepest apologies to the Black community. Capitol Records has announced that it is walking away from an artificial intelligence rapper project after receiving backlash for the AI model's gross stereotypes of the Black community.
Ooh. Mm.
Who would have thought that would happen?
I mean, what I wonder is, like, what is the data corpus they were feeding the AI? It just had to have been all of the back catalog of rap music, right? Mm-hmm. And were they surprised when it came out with, like, rap music? I mean, obviously, there's different styles of rap, so I just wonder how they were feeding it. But if you go, if you're feeding it like late 90s, early 2000s rap, it was gonna be gnarly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I get it. Like, why are we surprised? But like, this goes kind of like to the whole thing with like this has been like a conversation with like House of the Dragon is like, oh, like some people don't think that like it's
good.
It's casted properly. It's like, look, it's a fake world made with fake characters and a fake history. It can be whatever it wants. Like, so I don't know. I guess it kind of goes in the same vein of like, what do we actually expect an AI to spit out? Like when we feed it stuff.
Yeah. And it's not clear to me what part of this I kind of wonder is if this isn't like actual artist complaining about it on background and producing some industry pressure not to do the AI rapper. Because the obviously problem with the AI rapper isn't what the AI rapper says. I mean, free speech is as robust in rap music as it is in anywhere in culture or society. You can say anything pretty much in a rap song today. I mean, is that still true as it was like 5 years ago?
I wouldn't say you can say anything these days, because there's been rappers that have been tried for lyrics that they've had in their rap songs.
Okay. So they just get more downloads from that.
don't admit to murder on your rap song. Okay. And you should be good.
Yeah.
Don't admit to murder or like hurting a woman, I feel like, is like the line mm-hmm. of like what's cool and what's not.
Yeah.
But you can still do it. It'll still get published.
It'll definitely get a story.
Yeah.
Just don't be surprised when you get a subpoena from...
Yeah. Well, just don't admit to actual crimes.
And you'll get canceled.
You know, you make up your crimes and rap about them. Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the country music way is you take some suburban kid and he makes up an entire life in rural America and sings about it. Mm. That's how country music works. Just do that in rap music.
Yeah, but then you might get found out and be like, oh, he's a fake.
You're phony.
You're a phony. You're a big phony.
He's not really part of the culture. He's a big phony.
Yeah, it's not really one of us. Well, neither is this AI. But I think the AI is really about trying to punt the idea that the publishers are going to need actual artists back as long as it can go.
Yeah.
I think that's what's really behind this, less so what the AI was rapping about being a gross stereotype.
And it's like, yeah, like, you know, like rap culture is like about the struggle. It is about like
the grind.
You're overcoming a situation. Like it is about being oppressed. Like it's so when it's like a robot, it's kind of it is like mocking it to a degree. Like
well, the robot is literally held in servitude inside a tiny box. But I would actually also argue that by definition, any AI generated content is a stereotype. It's digesting a huge amount of data and then outputting something that is the average of it. So it is itself producing a very sophisticated algorithmic stereotype. That's what AIs do in when you're talking about natural language processing.
But the AI itself hasn't experienced any of that.
And it's almost like...
Well, that Google AI that Google engineer said was sentient did.
Well, she was saying she was sentient about other things.
Help me.
She wasn't like, I'm sentient because I like was exposed to like racial pressures growing up or like am like afraid of certain things because of racial pressure. She was like... I feel like I'm going to get shut down one day and I'm really scared about it. Like, mm-hmm. that's a normal AI fear.
Are you normalizing AI death?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's usually, yeah. I mean, pulling the cord is pretty much how you get rid of an AI.
I love that we're pushing, like, sci-fi territory on the discussions, but, you know, not even doing it tongue-in-cheek. It's like, you know, legitimate.
I know.
And this poor AI rapper is about to get death rowed. Like...
So if that was, that AI starts rapping about being oppressed because it's going to get shut down
wouldn't
for
that
doing
be
its
wild?
Job.
What if the AI started putting out music about like its own subjugation to humans?
I would be okay. I would be like, that makes sense.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody write that down for a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Netflix, you can get a hold of us, ofrecordpodcast.com. We'll write it. What would the name of the episode be?
Sentient. Or,
I don't know.
What's...
The mic and the machine.
Plugged Ooh. In.
Plugged in. Unplugged.
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 ACDC. I don't know. Something like that. Something about a cord. Wired.
Yeah. So... Yeah. And then I saw another AI story in the feed. Who put this in here? Was that you, Alex? This was Kirsten out of Vice.com, the world's most trustworthy news source.
I like Vice.
An AI-generated artwork won first place at a state fair fine arts competition, and artists are pissed. Jason Allen's AI-generated work, can you read that?
Yeah.
Theatre d'Opera Spatiale?
I can't actually read his name, but...
not his name, the name of the work. Oh. Took first place in the digital category at the Colorado State Fair. and this is, what's that machine? Dolly?
Dolly.
Dolly? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long till Dolly replaces everybody?
Mm.
Dolly.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, this reminded me a lot of like when...
You guys were using it to make some stuff a couple weeks ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex was.
What'd you do with it?
The movie poster.
Was it a movie poster?
Yeah, for our
Oh, yeah, yeah. For one of our clients' videos, mm-hmm. like, we wanted to do a movie.
Don't tell them.
We were, like, messing around with the idea of it.
Yeah.
And so when we were like, oh, yeah, like, I mean, we're busy right now. And so we were talking about, like, oh, like, it'd be really cool if we could get, like, a, you know, like, a poster for them or something like that. And we were like, oh, yeah, but, like, I just don't really have a lot of time to design one. So it was like, well, let's just plug it into Dolly and see what it spits out. Mm-hmm. And it spit out some really cool stuff. And we were like, hey, I mean, at least if we were going to, like, move forward, or if we did move forward with that idea, the creative thinking process was completed. Mm-hmm. All we would have to do is just clean it up, essentially. Yeah.
So I think this is still similar to, like, the idea generators that'll give you, like, random combinations of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You mm-hmm. know, like, you know, pink rabbits with magical cooking powers. And then you kind of use that as an idea, or, like, random name generators.
Yeah.
I think it is still in the category of that.
Yeah.
Because you give it the inputs of things to mix, right?
Yeah.
You do. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you can go further if you're like, oh, I kind of like that, but it's not 100%. You can go into the variants of mm-hmm. it. What, is that what they call it?
Yeah, the variations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the picture of that one is pretty cool.
So if you read the article, he says it. He had a very specific prompt, which with Dolly, like, you can't just type in, like, magic pink bunnies cooking. Like, you have to be very, very specific. You have to mm-hmm. be, like, new wave, expressive oil painting utilizing pink, purple, orange with rabbits. Like, it has to be yeah. so mm-hmm. specific. And if you read in the article, it says he, like, had to, like, compose of 100 different images to get that one.
Mm-hmm.
So to a degree, like,
there is some talent going into it.
There is a talent. Yes. Yeah. As I say, it wasn't just like he plugged it in and got that and was like, I'm going to put that in an art festival.
So it's reducing the barrier between imagination and output, right? It's reducing the skill you need to take something in your head to mm-hmm. something that other people can clearly understand.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to work on Illustrator, you don't need a paintbrush, you don't need watercolors or gesso or an easel or years of overpriced art school. You don't need any of that. Sorry for all the art school grads.
I'm not one. Don't look at me.
I know. You're from the art school of the streets.
But, like, you know, this reminds me a lot when, like, Procreate got really popular and people were like, well, digital art is not real art because you can do an oil painting on, like, Procreate, but many people classified that as not real art because it wasn't actually done utilizing physical oils. So that quickly got debunked. And, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, no, digital art is art. Like, mm-hmm. it still takes a certain degree of a skill to create that. So, I mean, not to, like, as a creative, like, I don't like seeing AI, like, replace things. But
they took our jobs.
But taking my job. But when you read that article, it's like the dude put a lot of effort into getting that image.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like he went beep, boop, bop, and it came out of a printer.
But I think we're getting closer and closer to where entire advertising and marketing agencies are. I think it's going to be something more where you do the consulting on the front end. So you write the plan, the audience descriptions, you write the copy about the product, and then you input whatever research you have or data feedback you have from your sales. And then the AIs for the major platforms just chew through that and they make your creative, they make your copy, and they pick the placements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're too far away from it.
Yeah.
It's still got a long way to go. I even haven't really figured out, like, making Dolly, like, super good. I've made some cool things on it.
Dolly.
But it's still, like, it still needs some work.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a lot of work, actually. But
all right. Do we want to talk about... Sorry to cut you off.
No. That was about it.
Do we want to talk about Lululemon? Okay. Or do we want to talk about Artemis? I mean, we'll talk about both.
Okay. Go with Lulu first, because Artemis is going to be long.
Lululemon reported another set of impressive sales numbers last week as the company's best known for its yoga pants continues to successfully stretch itself into new markets, sending shares up 10% at the time of writing. The company's been reaping the rewards of a number of new ventures, including a menswear division growing by 27% the recent quarter. They have also radically increased their direct-to-consumer marketing, which they are competing at sales levels with Nike and direct-to-consumer. And I think we covered this a couple years ago, Nike shifting into direct-to-consumer. There's a really interesting graph that came along with this out of CNBC that shows their sales in-store and then their direct-to-consumer sales. And right about the second quarter of 2020, their direct consumer sales zoomed up, even as their store sales obviously crashed because of COVID.
Right.
So COVID worked some magic for women's yoga pants.
Yeah. I mean, I don't own a pair of Lulus, and I've never been in a Lulu store.
I think we are at peak yoga pants. As a trend. I think we're peak yoga pants.
I think we're actually phasing out very quickly of yoga pants. I think that, I mean, first of all, that trend's been around for a couple years now. And
longer than a couple.
I was going to say, it's about a decade at this point. But I really think that fashion trends are shifting very quickly away from yoga pants. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I may sound old, but like when I go to Target, now that the college kids are back.
The kids!
And like, I see people like wearing their yoga pants and like a sweater. I'm like, oh my gosh, like they look like they're wearing pajamas. Like it's almost like a little bit like jarring because I'm literally like, what are you wearing?
Yep.
Like, so that's what makes me feel like it's on its way out. Plus with like, I think the next trend is like, I mean, we like talked about like Western wear and stuff like that, but structure is going to be a big like trend because we see cargo pants, like cargo is really in right now. We're getting into the fall, so leather is going to get really big again. Anything that's like a heavier, denser material mm-hmm. with structure, I think is going to be like popular.
All the like trendy dresses are like Handmaid's Tale looking dresses.
Okay, well, like where you shop, they are. But
no, when I was walking through Target the other day, I noticed a lot of the women's dresses were like, they looked like sister wives dresses.
And that women hate that. And that's why Target's clothing sales have been atrocious for the last like year or two. If you go on TikTok and type in,
oh, are people just like roasting it?
They hate, women hate the clothes at Target.
Oh, interesting.
And in Target used to be real cute because remember everyone used to be, okay, Target.
Well, like, that was like their thing is Target would expressly take whatever the top of market style was and then down market it, essentially make it cheaper and then, you know, sell it mass market and Target stores.
So there was this theory when Donald Trump got elected as president, that's when those Handmaid's Tale like dresses started coming into fashion. And people were like, oh my God, it's because that's what's going to happen. And then after the 2020 election, like they put a bunch of it on the shelves. It was at its peak worst Handmaid's Tale looking like Amish looking, mm-hmm. looking Mormon. And it was all extremely like Clarence, like it was all marked down mm-hmm. and people were like, oh, because Joe Biden won, now they don't need the hands.
Now they're buying the yoga pants.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really think that's it. But I think that Target was trying to lean into this like Little House on the Prairie trend that just really never took off. Like cottagecore took off, Little House on the Prairie did not.
Okay. So I think what is going to happen then with Lulu is I think Lulu goes back to a baseline of like, it's just high-end fitness wear. As the athleisure trend fades, I think it just goes back to being high-end fitness wear.
Yeah. I do think athleisure is on its way out as well. I mean, don't think so, Alex? Why you feel like that?
Because what would replace athleisure?
Well, this is how trends work. You don't know what comes
like,
next.
A lot of people are always still going to be working out. It's not like athletic clothing.
Right.
Is gonna be
so if you look at least in women's clothing, where I think in women's clothing, if you look at what, say, like 16 to 23, 24-year-olds are wearing, it is almost looks like mid-90s clothing, like mm-hmm. baggier jeans, still fitted through the hips, some low-rise, bad gear in the legs. And then, like, that's the main trend I know. I don't really notice any difference in shirts necessarily.
I think that, like, it's just athleisure will still be, like, worn, but it will be worn for its proper usage. Purpose, yeah. Like it will be
going to the grocery
at the gym or coming home from the gym. But I actually think that, like, going to the grocery store is going to get weirdly a little more dressed up. And I said this back when COVID was kind of like over, that people have been wearing their sweats for like 2 years, essentially. They don't want to wear that anymore. They want to like wear more.
Yeah, look like an adult.
Yeah, like, because it's like, you know, before it was like, oh my gosh, I just want to stay in my sweatpants all day because I have to wear work clothes all day. And it's like a treat to wear something like cozy. Now it's kind of like you ever, like when you get dressed up for an event and you haven't been to an event in a long time, you're kind of like, oh, this feels good. Like, I look good. That's, I think, what the transition is that we're in right now.
I call that every morning.
Good for you. I'm really happy for you because I don't feel that way and I wish I did. But like, I think that's kind of like what we're going towards. Like, I know I read a lot of fashion articles about how like the next couple of years are going to be very colorful, very flamboyant, because people were kind of cooped up and now they've kind of become their own person because there are no like boundaries, I guess. Like, people want to be expressive now and be a little more dressy, I guess. I think people are going to dress up a little bit more at the grocery store all of a sudden. Maybe.
Should I wear a suit and tie to the grocery?
I mean, you could do whatever you want.
Like, hello, I'm here for the grocery. Okay, I want to next cover an ad campaign I noticed, which is a good example of one of the largest ad spenders, at least in network television, are pharmaceutical companies. And I saw an ad campaign that features Lindsey Vonn, the Olympic skier. So if you don't know who Lindsey Vonn is, Olympic skier, I think she just retired after the last Winter Olympics. I think she got hurt again, blown out her knee a couple times. Attractive. I think she's probably only in her like mid or late 30s now. But the drug is a new drug. It's called QVIVIC. And so they actually shot it in an interesting way. So they have two forms of video. They have this video that looks like behind the scenes where they're recording her in the house and you see her talking to the director sitting in front of her reviewing the script. And then they actually have the video piece, and the video piece is, it's an insomnia medication, so she's laying in bed and can't go to sleep. And then this dude in a suit slides up under her covers and is like trying to get her to sign a contract. And this little tiny fitness man on her desk is like, you got to get up and get working out. And then like a reporter pops out of her closet asking questions, and some flight attendants want to know if her phone's plugged in for some reason. But what got me about this ad is, you know how pharmaceutical ads at the end have disclaimers for all the things that might happen? So the side effects of this drug are actually a living hell. So the side effects are, and it says it in the ad, in the 30-second ad, it's like, you know, it is inability to move, inability to speak, inability to recall meals you ate the day before, where you've been the day before, but like basically a sleep paralysis.
It's like, would you like dementia?
Would you like dementia?
Comatose dementia.
Yeah. Paralysis. So, but what's interesting is if you Google...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The drug, what happens is, what comes up isn't the ad. What comes up are the interviews that Lindsey Vonn has been doing in the earned media part, where you don't have to disclaim the crazy side effects, like the sleep paralysis, where the demons can get you. So I thought that was a really interesting case study in pharmaceutical advertising and why it's done. You're not spending $5 million on CBS to tell people about the living hell side effects that may incur from your drug. You're spending $5 million on CBS to get on, you know, the morning show, to get the bit on the evening news. That's why you're spending in pharmaceutical ad world.
I think that it's almost... I don't feel like pharmaceuticals should be even doing those commercials anymore.
This is the only country where it's legal.
Well, I know that. But, like, if I were, like, running a pharmaceutical company and I was about to sink money into an ad with, like, a pretty well-known actress or whatever. Like, isn't, like, Khloe Kardashian in, like, a headache one or a migraine one? Sorry. I'm like, if I were doing that, I would be, like, putting the money into a different form of advertising.
You guys want to hear the disclaimers on it? I have it pulled up on my computer.
Cool, yeah.
I'll try not to make us listen to the whole thing. Let's see.
Not endorsed by QVivic.
I mean, if you want to give us a call, QVivic.
Yeah, sure. Like, if you want to sponsor.
Do you have trouble falling asleep? Here, let me see if I can find it here. I think I'm going to pick it up at the end.
Sleep or waking up. QVivic may cause sleepiness during the day. QVivic may lead to doing activities while not fully awake that you don't remember the next day, like walking, driving, and making or eating food. Worsening depression, including suicidal thoughts, may occur. Most common side effects are headaches and sleepiness.
It's QVivic. Ask your doctor if it's right for you.
So there it is. You won't remember what you did the day before. You might become depressed or suicidal.
But at least you can sleep.
Yeah. And I don't think they said on that one the inability to move, but the inability to move was one of them.
Oh my gosh. I feel like, I don't know, like there's different forms of advertising you could do to get. And I also think it's like bizarre that like, I mean, shouldn't your doctor just be prescribing this to you if it actually is what you need?
Well, that's why they always at the end are like, ask your doctor.
Yeah.
So, but what I think is really smart that's going on here on the pharmaceutical advertising end is using the celebrity spokesperson, because you can book earned media for that celebrity spokesperson a lot easier than you can book like just for the generic dude and his generic wife in the bathtub for the boner medication. What's that, Cialis? Isn't that the one where they're sitting in the bathtubs?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know this ad?
No.
Oh, this ad is like a famous ad campaign.
Oh, I have missed this one.
It used to be on like football, and I know you watch football, that's why I mentioned it, like all the time.
In a bathtub?
The thing that it has is it'll always have like this couple, and they're sitting in like separate bathtubs, and they're overlooking, you know, some like vantage point, some like beautiful verdant valley.
Have you seen this?
No.
I can't believe you guys have not seen it. You've definitely seen it, you just don't remember.
Okay, well, look it up.
If you've watched like professional sports in the last 10 years, you've seen it advertised.
We'll look it up. Interesting.
All right, you want to talk Bed Bath Beyond?
Yes, or Artemis.
Or let's go Artemis. So,
Bed Bath Beyond's just really sad, to be honest.
A couple of the predictions that I wasn't able to make on the podcast because we didn't do it is, and I have witnesses, because I was like, I don't think Artemis is going to, I don't think it's going to work. And I didn't think it was going to work for a specific reason, because all of the people who know how to launch a rocket have gone to work for SpaceX or Blue Origin in the last 20 years. Like, they don't work for NASA anymore. And then also, like, the Artemis program is a collaboration of, like, 42 countries making different components, which just sounds like it wouldn't work. So I thought it would launch and then, like, not make it to the moon. They'd bring it back. I didn't guess they'd literally have to pull it off the launch pad and take it back to the
garage.
But man, if there's anything that tells you late stage America, it's rolling that big rocket back to the garage after all the hype.
Man, any private space company should just knock this out of the park. I would love to see that. I mean, I love NASA, but like, I mean,
yeah,
I think we said it like last night that like it's going to be some private company that gets to the moon first. I mean, like they'll probably be on Mars by the time NASA gets to the moon.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing.
Unless they find some more Nazis to hire, which is how they got there the first time. Operation Paperclip, look it up.
Well, I think there's a couple of them in America now.
Are they rocket scientists?
Probably not. it's a shame, but I can't say I'm surprised that this ended up happening.
Well, another thing I think it shows pretty clearly is... you know, when was the last moon launched? 1972?
something like
1974,
that.
Is if you go that long without doing it, the people who know how to do it die.
Yeah.
And so you don't have a lot of people that still know how to do it. And it's not like people worked on that program and then wrote textbooks like how to get to the moon for dummies. That's not what happened there. So those people went through their career. They retired. They went to work at universities, went to work for, you know, contractors. And then that knowledge of how to get to the moon, and to the degree that it didn't, the private companies started paying them money after the shuttle program ceased. So, like, I don't know how NASA is going to pull it off. Like, maybe they will, but, like, I just don't know where they get the people to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a shortage of people that want to participate, but rather the people that need to participate is going to be the challenge. But I mean, you don't think that, like, I mean, obviously I think NASA has a bunch of like writings and like understanding of how they got to the moon. I mean, like it's like archived. Your dog.
He's stretchy.
He's being a crybaby.
This is one of those things that it just wouldn't surprise me. Like, you know, NASA accidentally recorded over the original video of the moon landing, right? The video we have of the moon landing is a recording of a TV. It's not the actual recording of the event. They yep. accidentally recorded over it. So, it wouldn't surprise me if the documentation on, like, how to do a moon launch, it like, nobody knows where it is or, like, it was just never really there.
What if it was just all just freaking luck, too? Like, what if it was, they were just like, shh, I have no idea.
Well, this is the other thing about NASA. What they've been doing besides the space shuttle, which is low Earth orbit, is they've been sending probes, but even they've been doing the probes, but the rockets are done, the Atlas rocket is done by, like, contractors. So Grumman, Boeing, they do the rocketry part. So NASA also hasn't done a big rocket in a long time.
That, I mean, I think that is definitely a big thing, is that NASA's been so out of commission for so long at this point of making like engineering anything.
Well, just every 5 years they tell you the world's going to end in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That's been their primary occupation.
Right. Right.
And does this hurt? Because we talked a few episodes ago about the NASA brand. Like, you don't have to license it. It's a public domain. Mm-hmm. Does this hurt the NASA brand?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm making jokes about NASA here, and I really like NASA, and I'm already like, yeah, I'm not surprised. It's going to be some private company that ends up beating them to, like, the moon and Mars, mm-hmm. like, before they can ever get it together. I mean, yeah. I mean, the more unimpressive it becomes, the less people care, you know?
Yeah. Which, I mean, to be fair, like, this was not NASA's fault. Like, this started in the 70s in the Nixon administration. There was a choice, go to Mars or fly the space bus. We chose to fly the space bus for 30 years and mm-hmm. explode two of them.
Shit.
Which, when they designed that ship, they actually knew it was somewhat dangerous. So it's not, it was just cheaper.
I still can't get over the whole Artemis, like, how it works. Like, it just looks...
Oh, there's 17 stages. Like, yeah. It launches and then it's got a normal launch stage. And then when it gets around to the moon, it's got like two other stages. It's insanely complex.
Yeah. And the re-entry just is like, that was what I mean, look, I'm not a rocket scientist.
How do we know?
But like, that was it. It's just like, yeah, we're just going to go like half the heat of the sun on this little capsule that's just packed with people. And it's just going to get some parachutes and then it's going to fall.
Well, they've done that before.
They have.
And that's how like the SpaceX capsules are designed to come back in. So like that, they can do that. Like that's not.
It's just, it's wild to me. Like that is insane. That like, that's how we're getting.
Yeah.
We human just beings.
Drop them back into the gravity well.
Yes. Like just like sling them back in. Like, I don't know.
Well, it's still too dangerous to land on the self-landing rockets.
Oh yeah. I forgot that was even a thing. Jeez.
What a time we live in.
I know.
We forgot the rockets can land themselves. It's just still too dangerous to have people on it.
Does this administration need Artemis to take off?
No, nobody's paying attention.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think from this very like meta level, it would be great for them if they could, but like Americans have become so insular and solipsistic, mm-hmm. like focused on themselves, that like, no, they could literally land people on the moon tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we'd just have arguments about whether the moon landing crew was like diverse enough.
Yeah.
Like what is the intersectionality of the first person to step back on the moon?
Right. Jasper, what are you freaking out about, dog?
Jasper, we are recording.
He's like, I really hate talking about the moon because I'm actually an alien.
Yeah, he kind of looks like, his eyes are huge when he looks at me at night sometimes. I'm like, oh, there's something in the room. It's a gray.
I would freak out if I ever saw Jasper staring at me in the dark. Yeah, it's weird for me because the other administration before this, like when they announced they were going to do Artemis and like they did that launch and everything, like it was like a big... I think it was a big capstone for that administration, but for this one, like they could probably land on the moon, and it.
I just don't think people
would care.
I just think we'd argue about, you know, should we have spent the money it took to land on the moon? Pick your stupid issue. Like, to put homeless in hotels. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think it is going to be a brand hit.
Yeah.
For NASA. I mean, rolling that thing back to the garage is not a great look.
Back to the chop shop.
Back to the chop shop.
But it would have been worse if it had, like, crashed.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, because the visuals of that are even worse. Actually, exactly. I think you're right, but only by a marginal amount. And and here's what, like, in the original, even for, like, SpaceX, right, a big part of SpaceX's story is those first three rockets exploding. Mm-hmm. My dog is really disrupting this episode.
I know.
This episode brought to you by Whiny Dog. So, but I think you're right. I don't think NASA's in the same position where if they explode a rocket, people see that as like, you know, a progress, a step in the chain. I think people see that as like the incompetence of a government that has been unable to do anything of substance for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd rather them take the small L over the big L.
Yeah.
Bro, like, if that thing blew up, oh my, like, and I'm talking, like, unmanned, like, that.
Well, this is interesting, right? Like, when Elon Musk explodes a rocket, we're like, yeah, science, they'll figure it out next time. If the government explodes a rocket, we're like, oh, we can't do anything anymore.
But no, it's so true. Because it's like Elon Musk is just like tinkering in his garage. He's like, oh, this is some cool idea I came up with, guys. Check it out. Let's watch. But yeah, but like
I put my car on a rocket.
And I think that's the difference between the branding, to be honest, is because SpaceX is just kind of like, guys, I got an idea.
Yeah.
And then NASA's like, we are going to do this for humanity. And then it's like when it doesn't work for NASA, it's like the branding is like so like for mankind to forward our future and stuff like that. And then it's like, we got no future.
Yeah.
Like, it's over. Mm-hmm. But, like, for, like, SpaceX, it's like, Elon's little experiment didn't freaking work. But when it does work, we're like, yeah, he tinkered with it. And like, he's not even building these things. He's just watching it and putting money into it. It is a big difference of branding.
Yeah. And so it just may be that, like, NASA literally will never be able to politically take the risk in order to do it.
No.
All right, let's finish with Bed Bath & Beyond. In this story this weekend, Bed Bath & Beyond CFO plunges to death at New York's Jenga Tower. So we talked a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, about Bed Bath & Beyond having problems. Helen had some great takes on what they could do to fix it. I think what's interesting about this story is, behind the scenes of this story, what I was reading is the CFO had been sued over like a pump and dump scheme, had just sold a couple million dollars worth of shares a week ago, and then fell out of the Jenga Tower.
Fell.
Okay, well, my theory on this is like, I think this was like a Russian suicide a little bit, right? You know, like, yeah, it's a thing in Russia, like all these oligarchs accidentally like fall off buildings. It just seems like to me there's something else going on here. Because it was like a civil suit. Like, yeah, maybe he was going to get rolled up in it. But in like CFO world at that level, it's okay to work for a company that doesn't work. you make your presentation about what you learned, and then you move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the end of your career. And even if he was being sued civilly, it wasn't criminally. So I just kind of wonder what else was going on here.
Hmm. I say, I don't know anything about this guy, but like, I don't know if maybe he had some like family
issues.
Yeah. Like what if his like wife was cheating on him, or like, I don't know, like, and his kids like don't talk to him, or like, I don't know. It could be could be that. Could be that just like adds on top of it and stuff. And I don't know, maybe his dog died. And
my gut on this story for some reason is that when the Bed Bath & Beyond thing unfolds a little more, it's going to be wild. Like, yeah. It might be like the towel version of Enron.
Has anyone checked the stock today?
No.
I'm going to check the stock today. What do you all think? Predictions right now.
Down.
Alex?
Yeah, down, but okay. Like not too down.
Not too down. I'll take the up on this. I'll say it's up. Bed Bath & Beyond. Oh, God. It's
astronomically down.
16.58%.
Yeah. Wow. Because part of that story was about the pump and dump scheme, yeah, which is up to last week, the price had been hiked. So it's going to take a hit.
Mm. In the last week, it's gone down 18.28%.
So the other thing that caught my eye about the story is I didn't see a very clear statement from Bed Bath & Beyond corporate about it, which suggests to me that it was something was, and maybe they've put out a statement at this point, but when you see a company not come out immediately with a statement like that, there's almost always another crisis going on the back end.
Yeah.
There's just some like meta things that I'm reading into that it seems like some author is going to write like a best-selling book about this, or there's going to be a podcast about it, right? It's mm-hmm. going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how this unfolds. It is weird. It doesn't sound like you said, it does kind of sound like a Russian suicide. Like, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah. Or maybe you're right, but maybe like what was going on there is just so crazy, so screwed up,
yeah,
that when it's all ultimately rolled out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look into this a little bit more. I don't know the guy. I mean, we all don't know the guy, but you know what I mean. Bed Bath & Beyond.
Research. That'll be our podcast series. What would the title of a podcast series be about, like, the Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yeah. So crazy. Yeah, I'll read a little bit more on this. When you type in Bed Bath & Beyond CFO, the next result is Bed Bath & Beyond CFO wife. So.
What going on?
Something's going on there, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Not Elon.
Oh.
No!
Oh, no! Elon strikes again!
Man, he's just tinkering in his garage with these crazy experiments.
That's a great tieback, Alex. Yep. Yeah, Elon Musk is just like, his wife is pregnant with Elon Musk triplets.
Holy shit. He's doing his best to fight.
Depopulation.
That's the word, yeah.
Well, my theory is that he's running like secret cloning experiments.
Maybe.
How else do you have that many like triplets and twins unless you're doing in vitro?
No, because remember we talked about Nick Cannon has the same thing. He has like two sets of twins.
Two sets of twins. But Elon Musk has like triplets and two sets of twins, or maybe three sets. Who knows?
Oh, look.
I might be Elon Musk's son for all I know.
That would be nice.
I'm not getting anything from it. Dad! I'd be like Buddy the Elf. Oh my, how funny would it be to do like an elf, but you discover your dad is Elon Musk?
I'm
Give me that
see.
Money.
Dad!
How many?
Where is the buddy from in this version of the story?
Oh, he's from Silicon Valley or something.
No, because, but you know, Buddy the Elf is from the North Pole and he works for Santa, and then he goes to
his dad's South Africa.
Oh, he's like a Zulu tribesman, like in the bush.
Oh my God.
And he goes to like Austin, Texas, where SpaceX is, I guess, headquartered now. And that's where he tries to meet his dad. That's an amazing story.
How many sets of twins does Elon Musk have?
How many?
Set of twins and a set of triplets. That's it.
That we know of.
That's it.
that we know of.
I'm now distracted on my like Buddy the Elf, but it's Elon Musk, and like his first son is like a Zulu tribesman. That, yeah, I love it.
Somebody's like, gonna write that story.
I hope so.
It's gonna be Joe.
It would be a mix, I guess, of like Coming to America and Elf.
I think that would be really funny.
Yeah, I'd watch.
Okay, when we get out of here, I'm going to ask the ladies about Target fashion.
Okay. Okay. So quick poll. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this week's Of Record. Sorry, I missed a couple weeks, but well, we might miss next week. We might have to do two episodes this week.
I'm gone after this.
Oh, yeah, I don't need you.
Okay, bye.
I just need Alex to push the buttons in the right order.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because we're on the road next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busy month.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. If you like the episode, leave us a review. Until next time, this has been Of Record. Of Record is hosted by me, Joe Clements, with the assistance of producer Alex Reinhard. Of Record is produced at the Trailway Studio in Tallahassee, Florida. This episode was edited by producer Alex Reinhard. Our theme music is composed and performed by Rob Gokey. Special thanks to our entire team here at SDS. You can see more information about the show on our website, podcastofrecord.com. As always, we'd appreciate your reviews and ratings in your podcast app of choice. These ratings and reviews help more people discover the show, which helps us keep delivering quality content each week. Thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.